My name is Ian O'Neill, and this is How They Did It, a podcast where we learn filmmaking from those who've gone before us. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to How They Did It, a podcast for indie filmmakers, especially those just starting out looking to make their very first film, although anyone at any level can listen and learn. Ronaldo Kell is a writer, director, producer, and editor from South Africa who has several short films and a TV series under his belt. He's here to talk about his latest, a feature film called The Bush Knife, which can be seen right now on Amazon Prime. Welcome, Ronaldo, all the way from Durban, South Africa. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you very, very much.
No worries, man. No worries. Listen, we're gonna be diving into The Bush Knife, but before we do that, I just want to know when and how you got yourself into this business, this filmmaking craziness.
I think it started around 2005. I was doing film as a sideline fun thing.
Yeah.
And because I didn't have money to study and all that stuff, I was fiddling around with cameras, doing small music videos and all that stuff. Then me and a couple of friends, we decided to get together. And we made like a short comedy series, no plot, nothing, just straight for it. And then after that, I started having I started falling in love with film.
Wow.
Because I said, you know, this is something I enjoy creating. This is something I love doing. And that's how it all began, you know. That's how I started doing this filmmaking thing.
You know what I love? Passionate you are about it. It sounds like you're really passionate about filmmaking. It's the creative side of things that really gets your juices flowing.
Yeah. To create something from nothing.
Yeah.
It's such a... I don't know. It's like you're falling in love, you know, for the first time.
Wow. Wow, that is a powerful statement, my friend. That is awesome. Well, you know what? Passion is everything when it comes to filmmaking. You really have to have passion about your project, and it shows that you did. Yeah. Listen, you've done something that so many people talk about. So many people say, yeah, I'm going to make a film, I'm going to make a feature film, and they never do. And you know what? You did. Congratulations for that. That's amazing.
Thank you so much.
So, listen, can you give us a short description of The Bush Knife?
Well, basically, Bush Knife is kind of like if you enjoy movies type of like Taken or something like that. It's about an ordinary guy going through the tough times, you know, financially. And then you just get this guy that offers his help, you know. Hey, come work for me. I'll give you some work. But then when he finds out what the work is, he decides, you know what, I have to leave this guy because this is not good for me, it's not good for my family. And then when he does, the guy, the criminal organization leader called the Skull, finds offense to it. So he decides, okay, you know what, I'm going to teach this guy a lesson. Hmm. And he attacks his family. You could say he murdered his family. And that's when this character started becoming the Bush Knife. It's like, because he came from a life of crime. He wanted to do good. He went back into crime. And now it's like, you know what? The law is failing me. Everything is failing me. I got to do things on my own. So that's when he decides, you know what? I'm going to go after these guys and I'm going to show them who I really am. So that's like the Bush Knife in a nutshell.
That's perfect.
It's just taking an ordinary person and making them into something that they're not. Because a lot of times you get movies that got these strong guys, you know, I just wanted an ordinary person that's more relatable to people, to show people that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Yeah, yeah. I love that part about it, by the way. Thank you for saying that. Because your lead actor is an ordinary guy. He's ordinary. He wants the best for his family. And then this criminal screws up his whole life. And then he has to try. He's either going to get revenge or die trying. Yeah. And he's an angry fellow, let me tell you. He's angry. He's angry. So why a feature film though? What made you say to yourself, I want the challenge of taking on a feature film?
I think it's just that when I've been watching a lot of feature films from South Africa, I always get disappointed that, you know, it's not really what the audience actually wants or what the audience needs. And I've been doing short forms, and I said, you know what, I need to do a feature film, because the thing is that how am I going to learn if I'm not going to put myself into a position like that?
Wow. Okay. I just have to say that again. You put yourself in a position where you didn't know, and you wanted to learn, yeah. And the best way to learn was to do. Wow. Yeah. Okay, take that and write it down, people. Write it down. That's fantastic. Ronaldo, that's a great piece of advice. You got to put yourself in these awkward positions and these hard positions, but you learn along the way. You must have learned a ton while you were making the bush knife.
Yeah, I did, because it's like the level that I was doing the short films on and the level that I was doing the bush knife, it just suddenly jumped.
Wow.
It's like I jumped 5 years ahead. So like people said, how did you manage to even do something like this to make it look like a movie? I said, look, it's just push. You gotta push, learn. You are going to make mistakes, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the point of learning.
Yes. And that's what this podcast is all about, to be honest with you. I mean, I want people to learn from their own mistakes, but I also want them to learn from mistakes of others. And if they can describe what their process was. Speaking of process, you wrote this film yourself, that's right?
Yeah.
How long was that process from the time you sort of started toying with the idea to the time you had a finished script?
Okay, well, the initial script, originally I had 30 pages only written. And that took me, you can say that took me about 2 months, because I was working on and off and all that stuff. And then what happened during that time, I looked at the script and I said, you know what, this is the main story, okay. As the audience, what do I want to know about this character? Okay, as the audience, okay, I want to know who he was working for. How did he get in this position? There you go. Okay, he knows how to use blades. How did he learn to use the blades? There. Added that. So it was like, it wasn't like I wrote the script one time. It was like a building process. And plus two, also with the cast and crew, they also involved themselves in the story as well, where it's like, you know what, it'll be nice to see this, it'll be nice to see that, you know.
Wow. So you took direction from, like, you let your cast give you suggestions and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I opened doors to them.
Oh yeah. Wow. That's great. Well, and you know what? I'd like to think I'm that kind of filmmaker, that I'm letting people give me ideas, and I do. I try to stay open to whoever has it. You never know where a great idea is going to come from, right?
That's true. That's,
it doesn't matter if it's the guy on the mic boom or if it's somebody who's pulling cable. They may have some great ideas. Like, you got to listen to everybody. I think that's fantastic. Well done. So when you were writing, and I gotta ask, because I'm the kind of writer who kind of take myself out of society, I block myself away, and I just write. It sounds to me like you don't do that, that you just kind of write wherever you can.
Yeah, especially like the parts where you were struggling financially and I was looking for work.
Yeah.
I was at work when I was writing those parts. I said, you know, this is my experience. Let me just put it there. You know, when you're not out of work, what are you going to do?
That's fantastic. So listen, you know, I know I've done this, but maybe you did too. Did you employ sort of resource filmmaking? So you, but like even before you read this or wrote the script, were you thinking about a sort of inventory of what you had available, like gear and crew and locations to make the film? Did you have that in mind when you were writing it?
In my head, I was thinking of something else. Right, I had different locations in my head.
Right,
and then when my co-producer was involved, he suggested other locations, and we had to go and see these different locations. What I said, when I looked at the locations, like, this is the place I was writing for indirectly.
Really,
because like even when we filmed the master scene and all that stuff, there was a place called Buddhist Retreat.
Yeah.
It's like 4 hours away from home that we traveled every day. And it was like, this place worked perfectly because everything's here to make it seem like there's a training scene. You know, it's not like just grass and all that stuff. There's a place where you go in where the people usually do their meditation. There's like a big Buddhist behind the characters, and
Wow.
it was like an awesome place. And I didn't know we had this in South Africa. Because South Africa, when you look at it, like even if you're from South Africa, it's like, ah, I don't think we can find these type of places. Then you find it's like, where has this place been all this time?
Did you have to pay for that location?
No. The
No.
funny thing is, a lot of the locations we got, the owners of the locations or the places, they gave it to us freely. Because they
Wow.
said, as long as you credit to us in the credits and all that stuff, you can use it as long as you want.
Wow. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. So did you have crew in mind, and did you have like your camera ready before you even started shooting? You knew what you wanted?
I had crew in mind because I worked in the short films with a certain crew and I
Right.
brought them back in. With camera equipment, I never actually had a camera equipment ready because what I was doing, there was a company that we hired equipment from. And now what I was doing, I was working for, I think it was like 2 months at a time,
Yeah.
and I was saving up money. And then after the 2 months, we spent filming this in a weekend, right?
Wow.
So every 2 months, save up film. 2 months, save up film. And so when I found out about this company, I told him, okay, here's your list. What cameras you got? What's that camera? They said, no, this is a Blackmagic 4K camera. This was like 2015.
Yeah.
I never even used that camera in my life.
Yeah.
The movie was the first time I used a camera. People said, how? But you know this camera so quickly. It's like, no, because it's easy, and plus two, because you work with other cameras, you're trying to adapt now, and and plus two, with that camera, because it was new, there was no such thing as I think with certain lenses that weren't available for the
Right.
camera at the time, with certain things, so you had to make do with it and everything.
Right.
So like all of that came after, that
Wow.
came after, like saying, okay, I got this place. Okay, we got this amount of money. We're going to film the weekend. We got the equipment. We got the people and all that stuff.
Wow.
So,
Holy crap. You had it. You knew late what you wanted to do. As far as all your locations and stuff, you kind of fell into it, didn't you? You fell into
yeah.
the camera, you fell into the locations. It sounds like it all just started to get like all the pegs went in the right holes as you were going along. Wow, so listen, can you share the budget of the film? How much did you spend on your film?
In dollars, it would be $20,000,
20,000.
approximately
Okay, so you made a
20,000.
feature film for $20,000.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, come on. That's great. That's great. Come
Yeah.
on, that is great. Because when people are saying you can't make a feature film for $20,000. You can't make a feature film for five. You can't make a feature film unless you spend $1 million. Bullshit. You can make a film for 20,000 and you did it. And it's right now it's streaming so people can see it. You get it's on Amazon Prime right now, people. The Bush Knife. Go see it. Well, wait till this is over. Then go see it. That's fantastic. So you said that you worked and you raised you is that how you raised the money? You would just you'd work for a couple months, put some
Yeah,
money aside.
the majority of the money, yeah, the majority of the money was raised from my own pocket.
Wow.
And then we had some sponsors that came into the picture,
Yeah.
like what they call it, product placement, where you
Right.
film at a location, they give you a certain amount. So that also helped, with the funding and all that
Right,
stuff.
so that's for fundraising. You went, it's like a tow truck company or a car company or and they would give you money to be on screen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, I gotta try that. I didn't think a smaller independent film could do that, and you just proved me wrong. That product placement works even in
Yeah, you
something
can.
that small for 20,000.
Yeah,
Holy
you can.
crap. Well, I guess the worst thing that somebody can say is no, right?
Yeah, that's the worst
You
thing.
know, you ask them, listen, I want to use this car. Can I use this car? Sure,
Yeah.
you can use that car, but you got to credit me at the end of the. Or they say, no, you can't use the damn car. And that's the worst thing that happens. Nobody gets shot, nobody gets hurt, nobody goes to jail, nothing happens. Just no.
Yeah.
That's brilliant, man. That's brilliant. So, speaking of vehicles, did you use some sort of car club in this thing? Because you had some serious cars.
Yeah, there was a guy they call Tony's Car Sales. He used to rebuild vintage cars and all this stuff. So a
Oh
lot of the
man.
cars came from him. That was
Wow.
organized by my co-producer because my co-producer knew him. The one car that we didn't have from him was called the Viper.
Oh yeah.
That car came to another person, I think 6 hours away from where we were shooting. They brought the car all the way down
Wow.
just to be in the movie.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah, and
You
the Viper is my favorite.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's
That's
my
your favorite
favorite.
car. Oh man. Well, I gotta say, if you're a car person, that's another thing, another reason to watch this film, because you got some great cars in this film. You really do. It's just pretty cool. It really is pretty cool. So how long did it take you to make the film? Because you talked about work for a couple of months, shoot on the weekend, work for a couple of months. So
Yeah,
how long in total?
it was approximately two
2
years
years.
filming. Yeah,
Wow.
and I think it was 1 year post-production.
1 year in post, eh? Did you handle post on
Yeah.
your own or did you have somebody else do it? Did you do the editing?
I had to do, yeah, the editing I had to do on
Wow.
my own. Mix and all that stuff, I had to do all alone. Just that the music, a friend of mine's called Nigel from the UK. He
Yeah.
composed the music for the film. And
Wow.
then we had some artists from UK and the US that donated music freely to the film, all the vocal songs and all that stuff.
Oh man, I you know what? I've learned something. You really do have to ask people. Because if you ask people, the worst thing they can say is no. You ask a lot of people to do stuff and they did stuff for you. That's amazing. That is amazing.
You have to ask. You have to ask.
Yeah, well, it's true though. You'll never know until you ask, right?
Yeah.
How big a crew did you have on the film?
It was about three guys that were doing lighting and sound, and
Wow.
I was mostly doing the camera work. So I was directing and doing the camera work.
So you were camera, cinematographer, editor. You did it everything. Did you act in this? Were you in this at any point?
No, I
I
never
was
do
looking
any
for
acting.
you. I
I
was
had
looking for
enough
you.
work to do for myself.
So how well did you guys get along? How well did you work with your crew?
It became like a small family,
Oh.
you know?
Oh,
And I
that's.
mean, already the people were like, a lot of the actors were saying, "When are we doing part two? Part two? I never released part one yet."
Let's get through part one first. Well, that's how you know that people are really enjoying the process. They're really enjoying working with you when they're talking about doing it again.
Yeah,
Wow.
true.
Wow. Did you, oh, actually, if you can give tips on finding a crew. Like, do you have any tips on finding crew?
Well, first tip is that look in your area first.
Yeah.
That should save you some time and money. But it's always nice to know to get crew that are familiar with certain things, like with booming and with lighting and all that stuff.
Right.
You need crew that have a little bit of experience. So I always say, first, start on social media. Advertise on social media, see who's willing, and then test them. You have to test them.
Yeah.
Because some people, they just take them to set, hey, let's do this. Now you're going to have a lot of mistakes there. So you have to test them first or whatever. But like for me, I was lucky. I got my crew from that time, you know, from 2005, 2006. So it was easy for me.
Wow. Brilliant. Did you make a festival run with this film? Did you put it into festivals?
No, wait. Yeah, we did. We did have a fest. I think it was two festivals in South Africa.
Yeah.
No, it was actually three. It was Oog Film Festival, Ink Film Festival, and I think the African Film Festival.
Yeah.
And that was like 2017, 2018,
Yeah.
around that time.
And you did okay in the
Yeah.
festivals?
The people were thrilled. The people were thrilled. And the sad thing is that it seemed, it's just me, but it seemed like the festival was not happy that people liked my
Really?
movie. Because they were pushing their own movies, you know?
Of
They
course.
wanted the festival aid. It's like, no, we want to see this one.
Oh man, that's brilliant. So, when you were at the festival, did you hook up with any distributors or?
No, it's like, I did speak to a few directors, you know, future projects or something like that. But it seemed like everyone was for themselves, you know. It wasn't like let's link up, whatever. It's one of the issues with SA movies is that there's no real independent filmmaking in South Africa.
Wow.
If you don't go to the big guys, you don't get any help or whatever. And it's like, it's a little bit sad because most of your indie filmmaking support comes from America or UK, but South Africa's like they don't, the film industry don't really support their own, you know. It's kind of sad.
That's very sad. So what did you do about distribution then? What were your plans for distribution?
I was originally with another distributor from the US. I forgot their name. And they were actually trying to get the movie in theaters like a limited screening.
Right.
But knowing, after a little bit of research, I said, you know what, I never signed any contract with them as yet.
Yeah.
And I was a bit suspicious, you know, because it wasn't like anything was happening.
Right.
Then they took, I think they took a long time to do everything and nothing happened. I said, look here, guys, this is part ways and let me go my own way. So what I've been doing, I've been researching on Google, on wherever I can, trying to get, find out how to distribute, whatever, because now I have to do everything myself.
Yeah.
And that's where I stumbled upon a Film Hub.
Ah.
One of the guys on Facebook suggested Film Hub. So I said, okay, let me give them a try. Now the movie's on Amazon everywhere, so it's like, okay. But so far, Film Hub has been great, you know. It's really transparent. They always respond quickly to your emails. It's like, if you got a problem, they'll sort this out, sort that. It's like,
wow.
This is, yeah.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the distributor debacle. Yeah,
I was thinking about that.
That was pretty scary. And Film Hub, the interesting thing about Film Hub is they don't take money up front. You don't have to pay anything up front. They take 20% of what you make. So as long as you're willing to give up that. What's that?
If you don't make money, they don't make money.
Exactly. That kind of helps you as an indie filmmaker thinking about that because they've got to hustle to make you some cash in order for them to get any money at all. Which I kind of like.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. So that was your distribution plan. I like that. So as I said, the film's available on Amazon Prime, but is it available on any other services, any other places?
There's a few Roku channels that are going to have it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not live yet, so
okay.
I don't know if it's coming soon or whatever, but until it's live. And
right, everything. Right. Well, we won't talk about that then. That's okay. But you know what? You're on Amazon Prime, and that's important that people go to Amazon Prime and check this out. Because people don't know how you get paid based on Amazon Prime. It's all about minutes and hours, and you got to get eyeballs on the film. So get some eyeballs on the film, people. I'll make sure I'll put a link to the film in my show notes for sure. So now that you've finished this incredible project, like it must have taken a lot out of you. What's next?
I'm planning to do another project, but it's like for now I'm just working on a script. I think I've been working on a script for about 5 years or something. It's because it's one of the projects I first started filming in 2005. Like I did a short 5-minute video of it.
Yeah.
And I said, because it's so close to my heart, it's not something that can be rushed.
Right.
It's what it's kind of like a thriller suspense. Some people call it a horror.
Yeah.
But me, I don't call it a horror because it's more character driven. It's more story based.
Right.
Obviously, your scares, whatever. But it's like it's a project. I think I've only written like 10 pages so far in these years.
Wow.
Because I do not want to rush it.
Wow.
It's one of the projects that is very, very close to my heart.
Well, so let's see. You've been working on it for 10 years and you've got 10 pages. So that's a page a year.
Yeah.
you don't want to wait too long. Listen, we're down to the...
But I will finish it.
You'll finish it, right? You'll finish it and you'll produce it and you'll get it out there.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So I'm down to the big three final questions that I ask every guest that's on the show. What is the biggest filmmaking mistake you ever made, and how did you overcome it?
I think it would be budgets,
Oh yeah.
and I funded myself.
You shouldn't have funded it yourself. You don't think that's a good way to go?
No. It's a good way to go. It's just that I think budget's always the not the mistake. It's like we always don't calculate budget before we do something, and I think
Right.
that's the m biggest mistake people make.
Oh, really? So you budget something and that you shouldn't budget until you know what you're doing?
Yeah,
Okay,
because
so
this is
you.
like a learning process, you see.
Okay, so as you're going along, so you go into the film, you don't know how much it's going to cost for something. You should wait until you find that out, and
Yeah,
when you're
and
planning,
then
you're going to find that out, right?
yeah.
So those things will change your budget as you go.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I see what you're talking about. So what's the best filmmaking advice you've ever received from somebody?
I think it's just pick up a camera and do
Oh, that is great advice. And
Yeah.
I think we've preached that on this show a lot as independent filmmakers. You got to be making films, right? So who was it? It
Yeah.
was I guess it was Rodriguez who said, I didn't go to film school, I went to film. You just do,
Yeah.
right? You just do. Okay, so Nate,
Yeah.
this is probably the toughest question I'm going to ask you because everybody has so many different answers, but name a film that inspired you, either as a filmmaker or just in your everyday life.
I think it would be Django, Quentin
Oh,
Tarantino.
yeah. Epic film.
Think that inspired me the most.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
But why? Can you tell me why?
I think the West. I'm very fascinated about the Western civilization and what it's like, and also with the movies, music, and how everything blend. With me, I'm a big fan of music. You know, if a movie got music, even if it's not a good movie, I will just like it just because of the music.
Because of the music. So music's a big
Yeah.
thing for you. That's most important for you, eh? Got to get that. Well, you had good
Yeah.
music. You had some great music in your film. And who was it who
Yeah.
scored it again?
Nigel Lowe.
Yeah, and he's from the UK. He
Yeah.
did a good job. He did a good job. I liked the music. It was good. So, you know
Yeah.
what? Where can people find out about what you're up to?
Basically, for now, they can always join me on Facebook. I do have a Facebook page under my name, Ronaldo Cal. And if they want to find out more about the Bush Knife or any other project, they can also go to the Bush Knife page, you know.
Do you have a Bush
It's
Knife page on Facebook?
Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
So
Well,
me on Twitter, on Twitter, I'm known as the Cal League, but they can search for me as Ronaldo Cal as well.
okay. That's cool. Hey, listen, Ronaldo. Great stuff, man. Thank you very much.
Thank
That was
you.
listen, the purpose of this show is to learn, and you've taught some people some things. So thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
I really appreciate you.
That's our show for today, and I can't thank you enough for spending your valuable time with me. I greatly appreciate it. I really hope that you learned something from today's episode, and just as importantly, that you enjoyed it. As always, if you have any comments or questions about the show, please stop by my Facebook page at How They Did It Podcast. I'm on Twitter at HFilmmaking and on Instagram at How They Did It Filmmaking. Please show your support for the show by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Thanks again for joining me, and I'll be back with another show next week. Until then, keep shooting.